Hallelujah. Let's pray. Great King, we thank you for outposts of the kingdom of God such as this. We thank you for souls that you rescue, that you bring to yourself for your eternal purposes. I pray that we would be people who seek to apprehend your purposes for our lives, and that we would not let anything else other than your purposes define our destiny. We would not let our past or our failings or our families or spouses or children or parents or bosses or finances or difficulties or any such thing define our lives. We would not let our pain define our lives. We would let your purposes define our lives. And I know, Lord, that if we fix our eyes on the fulfillment of your purposes for us, you'll teach us how to deal with the pain that is part of the process of learning and changing and growing. So I thank you for an outpost of the kingdom of God here, where people can be saved and healed and delivered and taught and trained for your purposes to be fulfilled in our lives individually and our lives corporately. And so, Father, I pray these things in the name of the Messiah who has inspired these truths to us through his word. Yeshua Jesus, amen and amen. I heard one little amen over here, so that's better, because if you didn't like the prayer, I have to pray it all over again, because I'm not going to change it. Because it was a good prayer, it was a right prayer. And we don't want to be around people who pray things over us that please us. We want to be around people who pray things over us to please God. There are people who are running around looking for prophets and prophecies and all kinds of things. Well, I didn't like that prayer, I'm leaving. Or I didn't like that prophecy, I'm leaving. And they have a book where they collect prophecies and they run around until they get one they like. It's like, oh God, give me a Bible verse. I don't like that one. Give me another one, you know. How many of you realize how foolish that is? I mean, that's just silly stuff. God has plans and purposes. Do you know that God is a God of plans and purposes? How many of you know you can't change his mind? How many of you have tried to change his mind? How many of you found that God can be singularly uncooperative? Because he has a plan and a purpose, and he doesn't change it. He doesn't change it because we don't like it. He doesn't change it because it doesn't please us. He wants to change us. We want to change him to please us. We got that wrong. He wants to change us to please him. Now we want to go to a different church. You know, we want to go to a church where people will kiss our flesh. Jesus wants to kill your flesh. Have you noticed that? You're crying to the Lord, why is this happening? I want to kill you. You want to kill me? I thought you saved me. I did. I saved you to kill you, to raise you from the dead. See, the real disciples understand that freedom comes when we learn about the work of the cross in our lives that frees us from ourselves, that frees us from the tyranny of me, what I want, what I like, how I want to be treated, what I want people to say certain things to me, and I'll say certain things to them, and we'll play games together. I tell you what, when you really are a disciple of the kingdom of God, you're done with games. And you're done with people who want to play games. And you're a discerner because you're being sanctified by the word of God. You're being sanctified in worship. Do you know when you enter into real worship, something happens inside of your spirit and in your soul that sanctifies you? And then when that begins to happen, you want real worship. And you're spoiled for singing songs. Even religious songs. And some of you know what I'm talking about. You get into real Holy Spirit anointed worship. Your spirit is in union and communion with God. God is doing something deep in you. He's sanctifying you. And then you would go to another meeting or another church, and they call it a worship service, but something inside of you is grieved. Oh, they're singing songs about God. They might even be singing songs to God. There's a difference, you know, between singing songs to the Lord and singing about God. But they never really enter into worship
Because there is the resistance, there is the reluctance, there's the people holding back saying, no, we're not really going to go there because we really want our life, we want our church in our way. I tell you, beloved, this move of the Spirit that you were hearing about earlier is all about creating environment where the Holy Spirit can do what he wants, when he wants, with who he wants, and we cooperate with him. A lot of people don't want this. We like religion in our own way. We like the meetings in our own way. We know it's going to start at a certain time. It's going to go. This is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and then we're going to go home, and everything's going to be fine the way I like it and the way I'm comfortable. When you follow Jesus, comfort is not high on his priority list. Have you discovered this about him? The master, the king of the kingdom, remember, this is the king of the kingdom who calls you. The king of the kingdom calls you, and the first step of obedience is picking up a cross and denying yourself. This place of death, of crucifixion. If the first thing that he calls you is to die to yourself, why do you think things are going to be about comfort after that? It's like he's saying, "This, listen, my children," and you are his children. Do you understand this? That the character in the heart of God is of love. And he wants to teach us to be like him. He wants to change us so we can receive more of him because we've been corrupted by sin. We come to the cross, something happens in us, and he says, okay, now I want to take you to the next level. Now I want to add to your faith. I want to add more faith to your faith. I want to add knowledge to your faith. I want to change your character. I want to make you like me. The scripture calls it being conformed into the image of God. He is the potter and we are the clay. Did you get that memo? He is the potter and you are the clay. And we're trying to change God because, well, I want you to treat me in a certain way. I want my life to be in a certain way. I want the people around me to be in a certain way. I want the situations to work out in a certain way. And then, you know, we can have this holy chutzpah. Chutzpah is a Yiddish word which means gall and nerve, you know. Here's a classic Jewish joke to describe chutzpah, okay? A kid, a teenager, kills his parents. And he goes to the judge and he says to the judge, "Have mercy on me, I'm an orphan." That is chutzpah. So what happens to us is we get this holy chutzpah before God, and holy in quotes here, and we go running through the Bible trying to quote verses to God to make him do what we want him to do. It doesn't work that way. God wants to take you into his word to teach you what he wants you to pray the way he wants you to pray it. Do you understand this? God is looking for disciples. Jesus never ran a popularity contest. He is not running a popularity contest now. He said that, you know, narrow is the gate and straight is the way that leads into eternal life. And broad, wide is that gate and broad is that way that leads to destruction. So the masses of humanity don't want God and don't want to be disciples of the kingdom until God finds the one, the two. Jesus said, where two or three, isn't that an amazing promise? Where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst. You know, we don't need to have a certain number of people before the Holy Spirit will come. Well, how many are you running in your church, Pastor? You're running as if you're cattle. You know, I've heard that one. It's like, oh, please. And then, you know, it's like that crazy mindset, well, where people are thinking, well, it's only a small church. There's only a handful of people there. Listen to me. The numbers are not the issue. It's the heart of the people that's the issue and the obedience inside of that heart that says, yes, Holy Spirit, we want you to come. This is not about pleasing one another. As much as your uncrucified flesh wants it to be about you and pleasing you, I'm here to disabuse you of that delusion. This is not about you. The kingdom of God is not about you. It is not the kingdom of you. It is not the kingdom of me. It is the kingdom of God. So he's the king, we're not. When we start to get these basic things straight, then we can begin, and it takes a while to get this straight, because our flesh rises up and says, no, my life is about me. And Pastor, you're not feeding me, and the church isn't loving me, rather than, hey, guess what? How long have you been a believer? How long have you been a disciple? It's time to feed yourself. You know, it's no good to look at a teenager, say, Mommy, feed me. Grow up, get a job. Hello, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, you know, you have to learn how to feed yourself. And those people don't love me. Excuse me, the issue is not them loving you. The issue for you is you loving them. So be an instrument of that love to people who are not loving you. Now you're becoming to be a disciple of the kingdom of God, and you cry to God. Some of my favorite prayers are very small prayers. God, have mercy on me. Because I don't love these people. I don't even like these people. And you tell me I can't leave that church. Especially that guy and that girl. And when I show up in church, they sit next to me. Why is that happening? Because God is saying, well, you keep saying to me, thy will be done. Meaning God's will being done. And God's kingdom coming. How many of you know when you pray that prayer? Silly Jesus, he believes you mean it. Well, you know, you pray the prayer, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, and hell breaks loose. How many of you have discovered that? You know, the closer you get to God, the more stuff happens. You know stuff. It happens. And you wonder, what's going on here? What the hell is going on here? And don't be offended. Hell, that's a Bible word. So, you know, I know we're in the Bible Belt. Don't trip. We're supposed to believe the Bible, right? When hell is breaking loose because you are going against the gates of hell, you're shaking up the demonic principalities and powers, they're upset that you have the chutzpah to go and come against their authority and their influence over your life because you're saying, yes, Lord, I'm going to be a disciple of the kingdom of God. If they're not loving me, that's not the issue for me any longer. The issue for me is you work in me. God, have mercy on me and help me because you want to change me. And all of these people that now I used to be so angry and upset about, I see them as opportunities to grow in love. Whoa. I'm ready for you, person, whoever you might be, that would make me crazy. You're going to sit next to me. I know the Holy Spirit's going to allow that to happen. But I'm ready now. So when you sit next to me, I'm already prepared in prayer for that moment where before I used to be upset or angry or easily annoyed or frustrated. How many of you know what I'm talking about? There are certain people that just tick you off. How many of you know what I'm talking about? They just have to show up and you are upset. There he goes again. There she goes again. Or whatever. And there's those nyanya demons. You know, I think there's a particular genre of demon called nyanya demons. There she is again. Same shoes, same pocketbook. Look at her walk, look at her talk, look at her, look at him, look at them. How many of you know what I'm talking about? So the enemy's playing you like a puppet, you know, a marionette, just playing you, and you're listening. Oh, what's the demon saying next? Instead of listening to the word of the Lord, you're just open to whatever demon wants to lie to you because you're caught up in yourself and how other people are responding to you rather than God. This is not about me. This is about you changing me. And I'm going to love that person. I'm going to intentionally love them. And I'm going to ask you, Holy Spirit, how do I intentionally love them? How is that for a prayer in your prayer closet? You want to get in your prayer closet. And in the name of Jesus, I rebuke those people. Get them out of my life. Hallelujah. Taking authority over them and casting them away in the name of Jesus. And then they show up again and you realize that is not a prayer that was born in heaven. There's another level that you have to get out of. We're saying, God, this isn't about me. Listen, these are not easy prayers to pray. I know that. But if you will pray such prayers and be willing to walk in such prayers, you get free. They no longer can influence you. That person, that woman, that pastor, that person in your past, that family member, whoever, that could yank your chain or influence you or do whatever, they no longer have that authority over you because you no longer are involved in one in dynamically in your soul and in your spirit wanting them to behave in a certain way. What you're saying is, God, how do you want me to behave? I learned this a long time ago. When you change, people around you have to change to adapt to the new you.
Because you don't react in the same way anymore. The things they did don't trip you up. Don't get you angry. Don't get you upset. Might even make you laugh. Because you see through the game. I have discovered there is such a thing called Holy Ghost popcorn. Now, sometimes when, you know, you go to the movies, you see a movie, or you're seeing something, you like to eat some popcorn and watch the show. Well, guess what? When you are really a disciple of the kingdom of God, you are a hero in your own movie. Okay? You are the hero. Now, watch this. Something happens in your life. Somebody is acting in a certain way. Previously, it would influence you. What they did or didn't do, what they said or they didn't say, it controlled you. You reacted. When you get free from that because you're praying the prayer, thy will be done, you want to change me, you want to conform me to your image, God have mercy. This is not easy prayer to pray. This is a prayer that takes you to the cross, that dies to yourself, because everything in your flesh is screaming. Do you ever have your flesh scream at you? I hate those people. I want to kill them, Lord. I want to send them to heaven. Can I do that? Have you ever had those homicidal moments in your life? Oh, yeah, this means yes. This means no. Get them, God! How many of you prayed such prayers? I realize, you know, I have the gift of interpreting giggles. So if you're not even saying amen yet... You know, my wife, when we were brand new newlyweds, and we've been married 35 years now, hallelujah. So we've learned some lessons along the way. But when we were newlyweds in the first couple of months, I did something that got Janet really upset. I can't imagine this happening, but it did. Anyway, I did something. She got really angry at me, and she said, "Get him, God." And I tell you, in the next few minutes, I started to get so ill. I had to lay down, and I literally could feel the life ebbing out of my body. I mean, I was laying down, and then Janet came in because she saw me laying down. Then she looked at me because I was getting pale and, you know, ashen. And I was saying to her, I really feel very ill. I feel like the life is leaving my body. And she started to cry. I mean, really weep and cry. Oh, God, I didn't mean it. And then the life started to come back and I started to feel better. She has never said that since then. Now, watch what I'm saying to you. You're praying, oh, God, get them, when God is wanting to get you. Because God is wanting to change you. So you have these thoughts and feelings going on. So I'm saying to you that these kinds of prayers that I'm talking about, this kind of mindset that I'm talking about is not easy. Going to the cross, getting into that dynamic that pulls you. What you say at the moment, really, this is when you're in the moment of the pain. You're in the moment of the response. You're in the moment of the reaction. But because in your secret place, previous to that moment, you've been prepared for the moment. Because you said in the secret place, Lord, thy will be done, thy kingdom come. What do you want to do in my life? And the Lord brings that person to mind. That scenario goes on in your imagination and you see it. And the Lord says, this is what I want to do when that next moment comes. And you say, okay, God, you can do it now in my spirit. You can do it in my imagination. You can do it in my soul. I see myself doing it, Lord. Help me because this is so hard. I'm going to tell you something. When you're praying to God these kinds of prayers, Lord, this is so hard. Those are real prayers. Those are real rubber hitting the road prayers. But when you allow God to do that, something happens inside of you that frees you. Now, you see then what you've never seen before, and you get like a veil is lifted off your eyes. You see the dynamic that used to cause you to get upset. You see the game being played. So instead of reacting, you can put the Holy Ghost popcorn on. And this all happened in your spirit, by the way. You know, you can't buy Holy Ghost popcorn.
It's a spiritual principle where you see the dynamic going on, but it's no longer hooking you. It's no longer getting you. It's as if you're watching the movie, and instead of it tripping you up and grabbing you, you're watching the show. You're watching the behavior, and it's entertaining. Say, whoa, look at this. Look at their reactions. Look at their responses. But I'm not in the response anymore. I'm watching the show. Put on some Holy Ghost popcorn. Enjoy the movie. Do you follow what I'm saying to you? Because as you respond to the Holy Spirit, listen to what I just said. As you respond to the Holy Spirit, not react to what people are doing, as you're responding to the Holy Spirit, there's that space, that psychological space between them and you, between them and you, and there you can put the Holy Ghost popcorn on and say, whoa, look at that behavior. Because you're not caught in it. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? Do you want to get free? See, these are principles that really set you free. And Jesus said, if the Son shall set you free, you will be free indeed. And most people, beloved, don't walk in freedom because they don't want the freedom. They don't want to pay the price to get free. And they don't want to pay the price to stay free. There's an old saying that the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. You know, and you have to be diligent and vigilant, watching over your soul and humbly coming before the Lord and saying, God, I blew it, but you're not condemning me. I'm repenting. I'm picking myself up. You want to change me? Here I am. Do a work in me. Listen, I'm not preaching this to you as somebody who has arrived. I am, to quote whoever it is that first wrote these words, I am a fellow traveler on the narrow way. I've learned some things. I'm glad to share them with you. But I have no means arrived in walking all of these things in my own life. There are things that trip me. There are things that get me. But when they get me, they no longer control me. I just got gotten for a moment. Then I've learned the power of repentance, that God's mercies are new every morning. That is an amazing, when you get that, an amazing revelation that this God loves you. That the mess you made yesterday will not determine your destiny today. The trouble, the problem, the things that you did or were done to you do not necessarily have to control you today. They do if you fall prey to the tactics of the dark side. They do because the enemy wants to take the failure of yesterday and add to it in failure today. Yeah, this is what happened to you yesterday. You did this and you did that and they did this. And so yesterday now darkens today. So you have no today, you only have the yesterday, because what happened yesterday is now coloring your emotions, coloring your thoughts, making you upset. And now you have 2 days worth of junk. And then 3 days, and it just piles and piles and piles before you're under this massive weight of depression and darkness or unbelief or condemnation or accusation. And you didn't have to be there for 1 minute, but you were listening to the lies of the enemy rather than the word of the Lord that says, repent. How did Jesus always preach the good news of the kingdom of God? He always began with this word, repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. It's available to you. The rulership of God over your life is right here. It's at hand. It's not far away. It's right here. It's at your hand. If you will receive it, and we receive it and say, okay, God, I'm repenting. My life is not about me. My life is about you. I want what you want in me to teach me and train me and change me because I want your kingdom to come. And listen, beloved, an indicator of your salvation is the fact that your heart wants the kingdom of God to come. That's evidence that you have been converted from darkness to light, from darkness into the kingdom of God's beloved Son, the kingdom of his Son. And because you're in the kingdom of his Son, something is rising up inside of your heart that wants his kingdom to come. Even when you fail, even when you fall, even when people hurt you, and something happens and everything inside of you wants revenge or wants to get even or wants to strike back or wants to do whatever, you don't let that happen. You don't let that determine your destiny. What determines your destiny is an attitude to God that says, yes, Lord, I want your will. I want your kingdom. I want your ways. Are you following all of this? This is really important. These are foundations for creating an environment that welcomes the Holy Spirit. Because it's not just our praise and worship in terms of the songs we sing. It's the attitude that we carry into the meeting that is always welcoming the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus is saying two or three are gathered in my name, it's not just two or three people praying a prayer in the name of Jesus. It's two or three people who are disciples of the kingdom whose hearts are saying, yes, Lord, I want to be a disciple. Yes, Lord, I'm repenting. Yes, Lord, I want you to change me into your image. Yes, Lord, I want this to be who I am. And now you find someone who else is a fellow traveler on the narrow way. And you look at each other and say, I've been in battle. Me too. I've been dealing with demons. Me too. I've been dealing with my flesh. Me too. You too? Me too. Me three. Me four. And we're no longer, you know, strutting around in, you know, some religious, you know, well, you know, we are Baptists or we are Methodists or we are Presbyterians or all of whatever. You know how people create these false identities. And we see it all the time. When, you know, well, what church do you go to? Well, I'm a Baptist or I'm Presbyterian or I'm a Methodist. And there's the first church, the second church, the third church in memory of this person. You follow what I'm saying to you? That becomes their identity rather than the one biblical identity that should be foundational for all of us. We are disciples of the kingdom of God. Just disciples of the kingdom. Because this is what the Father is searching for. Children he can teach and train. Children who could say to him, yes, Lord, this is, I want to learn, I want to change, I want to grow. I want to be who you want me to be. There's a deep work of the Holy Spirit that he wants to do in each of us. It's a deep work of transformation. It's a deep work of change. And listen to me, beloved, nobody can do this in you, except the Holy Spirit, and he'll only do it when you say to him, yes, Lord, I want this work of your Spirit in me. And it's those people, I believe, that the Lord will say on the great day of judgment, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You didn't hold on to yourself. You didn't seek to save your life. See, this is a different level of judgment than, but Lord, I did this for you and I did that for you. Remember that dynamic where people are going to say to him, Lord, in your name we healed the sick, we cast out demons, we prayed in new tongues, and all of these kinds of things we did. And what did the master say to some of them? He said, depart from me. I don't know you. You don't look like me. You didn't let me work inside of you. I don't recognize you, my image in you. You were disobedient. When I called you to repent, you didn't. They were given gifts and anointings. Remember, what are they talking about there? They're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't come from us. In your name, we cast out demons, a work of the Holy Spirit. In your name, we heal the sick. We don't heal the sick, the Holy Spirit. So they're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Lord is saying, that's me in you. I did that. Well, I'm talking about you. Not what me in you accomplished. Not what the Holy Spirit did. I'm talking to you. What you didn't allow me to change you. I don't know about you, beloved, but I have a healthy fear of God. You know, because he is a serious God wanting to do a serious work and created this world of sin and suffering and Satan and stuff. Because through it, he wants to harvest the people who he can entrust with his authority. So if he sees you and saying, ah, I know I can trust you, because that moment when it was really tough for you, you didn't try to live for yourself. You humbled yourself. You repented, which means to turn to God. You found fresh mercy. Isn't that wonderful when your repentance brings fresh mercy? Fresh love? Before you didn't have any love. You had other stuff. And you made the decision, I don't want that stuff inside of me. Whatever it is. I don't want that stuff inside of me. God, it's stuck to me. I'm stuck to it. I've always been this way. I've always reacted this way. I've always responded this way. This has been my identity. Now I come to you and you tell me this is not what you want in my life. You want to change all of that. You want me to be humble. You want me to be loving and kind and generous and forgiving. You want this, the opposite of who I am. Yes. I want you to be like me. And I tell you that as you let this work of the Holy Spirit go on inside of you, in your being, you become a tabernacle, a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. And it's not like theologically you have the Holy Spirit in you. I'm talking about having moment by moment encounters with Him in which you're hearing His voice and doing what He's telling you, and so He can entrust you with more of what He wants to do. So the opposite of being rejected because you were a worker of iniquity or lawlessness, it is being accepted and exalted because you were letting Him conform you to His image. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? See, our gathering together, whenever we gather together, we're in a school. We're in the university of God, in the school of the Spirit, if we will be disciples. A disciple is a student. A student is in school. So we're in the school of life. We're in the school of life together. That's why fellowship in the Spirit is so important, because we need each other. We need each other from various backgrounds. We need each other from various, you know, experiences in life to share with one another. Well, what did you learn in life? And what did you learn in marriage? Or what did you learn in finances? Or what did you learn, you know, in your experiences? And the enemy loves to divide and conquer. God is wanting to bring us all together. Like His lamentation over Jerusalem. Oh, how I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks. Jesus wants to gather us. Gather us together, but not for our benefit. Gather us together. Listen to me. It is for our benefit, but not initially. It's for His glory so that He can teach us. Then the benefit is that He can train you to be like Him. This is for me. The answer to so many of the why questions. Why is this happening? Or why is this not happening? Why did you allow this? Why did you allow that? Why didn't you do this? Why did you seem to be, as I say humorously, singularly uncooperative? Because God is trying to do a deeper work in us. So there's a call. Listen to me. There's the call to be a prophetic gathering of people here in your midst. This word that you heard about a new level. If you as an individual, and nobody can make you do this, you have to choose for yourself. It's that Joshua 24 prayer and proclamation when he said to Israel, if you deem the gods of Egypt more worthy of your praise and your obedience, well, go follow them. But it's for me and my house, we're going to follow the Lord. And you have to decide that for yourself, for your own soul. I'm going to follow the Lord. And then God, by the sovereign leading of the Holy Spirit, causes you to meet the people who are been assigned to you in your school of the Spirit. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? Wow. Things happen. You meet people. Doors open that you didn't even know existed. Divine appointments come your way. Things, quote unquote, come out of the blue. How many of you have used that expression? Out of the blue. Well, I've discovered there's a blue department in heaven. And things come special delivery from the blue department. Phew. You meet somebody. Something happens. A relationship. There's so many wonderful creative ways that God causes stuff to happen. He's a He's got lots of surprises. It's like, whoa. Don't you love his surprises? I love his surprises. God, you surprise me. Wow. Well, you think there's no way out, and all of a sudden there's a way out that you didn't even imagine. Situations, circumstances, finances, jobs, people, places, things. It's like, you know, God causes all things to work together for good. What? To those who love him and are called according to what? His purpose. So he loves you and he's called you. That is, he's invited you to be his disciple in his school of the Spirit. The question is, will you come? Will you come? This is the question to everybody. And lots of times we choose another way. Well, we want our church in our way. We want our religion. And essentially, we want to seek to save our life. And Jesus said, if you seek to save your life, you will lose it. But if you're willing, now watch this now. If you're willing to lose your life for my sake. And who is it that's speaking? This isn't that a preacher or an apostle or a pastor. This is the very King of the kingdom. Not some angel or emissary from the kingdom, but the King himself. Making this personal appeal and invitation. If you are willing to lose your life for my sake and the sake of my kingdom, then you'll find it. Because the life you'll find is the life with him. That's the abundant life that he promised. You see, in our Western materialistic world, we interpret, you know, the abundant life as a big house, a new car, you know, whatever material stuff that floats your boat or sinks it, as it might be. But that's not what this. This is about life with him in the Spirit, full of love, full of good fruit, full of good works. These are the things that God is looking to do in us. Now, when we have cultivated, and it is a process of cultivating this. You can hear what I'm saying tonight and get it by the Spirit, but you got to cultivate it because there's a word thief waiting right outside that door. Amen. Jesus said when the word of God is preached, the thief comes to try and steal the word. And he's a really good thief. I mean, you know that old saying, give the devil his due? For a devil, he's a good devil. Do not be deceived. We're not praising the devil. God forbid. We're just not ignorant of his devices. Because if you think he's a chump, that's right. You just keep thinking I'm a chump. Yeah, that's right. You keep thinking I'm stupid. You keep thinking I don't exist. You just keep thinking that we'll get along fabulously. But when you realize, whoa, he is smart. He's cunning. He's crafty. He's much more intelligent than me in the natural. But he's not more intelligent than the Christ who dwells in me, than the Holy Spirit, because greater is he who is in me than he is in the world. I know that. But I have to be obeying him who is dwelling in me and not be all uppity. Well, I want this and I want that. And you think, that's right. So when we have that kind of self-seeking, I want my own way, then the enemy is able to steal the word of God because you don't want the word of God. Oh, I didn't like that preaching. I didn't like that prophecy. I didn't like that prayer. I'm going to go to another place where someone's going to kiss my flesh. Everything's wonderful. You know, the first church of the flesh kisser. They're everywhere. Just come here. We'll tell you everything is okay. It's not okay. Read your Bible. Look in the world. It's not okay. And listen to me. God isn't in the process of making it okay. He's going to judge the world. You understand that? What's okay is when you are allowing him to cause his purposes to be fulfilled in your life, then all things work together for good. The blue department will send things to you. Why? Because you love him, because you are responding to his love, and you're called according to his purpose, which is to make you like him, to teach you and train you, so that he can entrust you with his authority. When I began to understand this in the scripture, it was like, you know, you have these moments that just kind of overwhelm you. It's like, whoa. I've also discovered that the closer you get to God, the smaller your vocabulary gets. Whoa. Wow. Amen. Whoa. Wow. Amen. And he said that all of this is about him training us to rule and reign. Those parables of the talent. You've been faithful in little. I can make you Lord over much. Take away from that one who buried his talent. He proved himself unfaithful. And give it to the one who had the 5 and the 10. Because they proved themselves to be faithful. It wasn't a matter of fairness. It was a matter of proving oneself to be faithful. This doesn't take spiritual revelation to understand this. If you work in a job, or if you have employees in a place of business, and they don't show up on time, they do a lousy job, you're not going to promote that person. But the other person who shows up every day, is on time, works all day, works really hard, does the work in an excellent fashion, you realize, I can trust that person, I'm going to promote them. It's just the natural principle of life. And it's the same principle in the kingdom of God. And there are people who just get old and never grow. And you see them in church 40 years later, same guy, same girl, just old. I knew you 40 years ago. You haven't changed one bit. How sad is that? When they meet you, they should say, wow, you've really matured. Whoa, look at what you're doing. Look at what's doing in you. Yeah. Look at how I used to watch you. Now you're a very different person. You're reacting differently. You're responding differently. You're handling things differently. Wow. Wow. Wouldn't it be cool when people meet you on the great day and they look at you and go, wow. That's a real wow moment. Whoa. See, but you got to get this by the Spirit. Like I was saying, when the Lord began to show me that his intention is for us to sit on a throne with him. That this whole battle in life is about authority. About authority over the enemy. About authority of your own mind. About authority over your own words. About authority of your own thoughts and your own soul and your relationships. Because if you don't have authority over your thoughts, Jesus ain't going to trust you with much. Then you start having authority over your words. Either what you say or what you don't say. Authority over your own behavior. Authority over your money. Authority over whatever. Because you're listening to the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, I want you to do this. I want you to go here. I want you to be this. I want you to do that. Yes, Lord. I don't know how I'm going to do it. God loves to tell you things that you cannot figure out. How many of you know that he loves to play that game? How many of you know God loves to play games? You know, there's lots of really cool games that he has. How many of you know that God has a game called 11-59-59? You know, there's coming up to the end of the month, and there's more month than there is money. Or there is something else, you know what I mean? And Lord, they're gonna turn off the electricity. Tick, 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 tick. How many of you know when you're running out of time, God knows how to make more time? And he brings us to the precipice. You know when he brought ancient Egypt out? He had this great sense of drama. Do you know that God has a great sense of drama? Wouldn't it be great if life came with background music? Like you could hear the devil approaching because the bad music starts. You know what I mean? You know, then the word thief is coming. But you realize you put your armor of faith on, right? You put your shield of faith. You got your sword of the Spirit. And you're hearing the Holy Spirit speak to you. And you are intentionally guarding it. So when the word thief comes, and he will, you'll say, you're trying to steal what God gave me. I'm not going to let you. I'm holding on to it tight. And then the enemy comes in various forms, you know what I mean? Or through individuals. You're going back to that church? You're listening to that guy? That's a Jewish guy preaching to you about Jesus. Isn't something wrong with that picture? What are you listening to them for? Oh, wait a minute. Sorry, Jesus was Jewish. Oh, I thought he was a Baptist. Because he was baptized by his cousin John, who was certainly a Baptist. Or he was Catholic. I mean, certainly his mother Mary was Catholic. You know, we've had people tell us this kind of stuff. Oh, by the way, her real name was Miriam. Oh, and by the way, Yeshua is his Hebrew name. But by the way, the last recorded words of Miriam, the mother of Yeshua, were the recorded words were in the wedding at Cana, where the wine stewards had run out of wine, and all of this hubbub was going on about running out of wine, and Miriam's last recorded words were, whatever he tells you, do it. This is the advice of your Jewish mother, Miriam, the mother of Yeshua. Whatever he tells you, do it. Not argue and complain, or don't try and figure out, how are we going to do this? Because part of the fun of walking with God is watching God do his cool God stuff. Don't you love it when God does his cool God stuff, when stuff comes from the blue department? Whoa. Wow. Amen. Hallelujah. Because God is looking for people he can play with. You understand that when God created Adam and Eve, he didn't put them in a business suit, in a 9-to-5 job, in a big city. He put them naked in a garden. Did you get that? And the words he said to him was, have sex, make money. Be fruitful and multiply and care for the garden. Do you follow what I'm saying to you? Now that might strike some. If you've got a religious spirit, you're not going to like that at all. And no, I am not advocating naked fellowship. So please... do not think that.
Let's skip this part.
Because I got a letter. I got a letter from a guy once saying, I believe that we should have naked fellowship, but my wife disagrees with me. I should have kept that letter because people don't believe that you get letters like that. I wrote him back, brother, listen to your wife. Keep your clothes on. Oh, God. But the point is that God has pleasure for you in this life. Fun for you in the battles of life. Because it's not all dying to self, picking up your cross, but the abundant life that you have as your soul gets sanctified and you're no longer being tripped up by this or that and you recognize the wiles of the enemy because you've met him, you've lost him, you've been defeated by him, you've overcome him, you're not getting defeated in the same way, you recognize his tactics, and there is joy unspeakable and full of glory. The Bible talks about the river of God's delight and pleasures forevermore at God's right hand. This garden of paradise is a symbol, a type of the depths of our relationship with our loving Heavenly Father who wants to teach us and train us. But we got to be teachable and trainable. So if you as a people can grab hold of some of this, grab hold of all of this, and let it work in you, you will really be able to create an environment that really welcomes the Holy Spirit. And not just momentarily while we're singing, because God dwells in the praises of his people, but an abiding sense of the presence of God, because we become living stones really joined together to one another. That are saying, yes, Lord, I'm going to be a good disciple of the kingdom. I'm going to help my brothers and sisters, whoever wants my help, be good disciples of the kingdom. I'm going to receive the help of those you give me to help me be a good disciple of the kingdom. Because I'm not going to be living for myself or my own flesh or what I want, but for you and your kingdom. Are you following all of this? Now, tonight, in the spirit, is an interesting night on several levels. One is because of the prophetic word we heard during worship. And others because tonight, in the spirit, according to the Bible, is the new year. January 1st is a pagan holiday. The rabbinic calendar in September, where the Jewish people celebrate the new year, is September. That's a rabbinic tradition. Tonight is the new moon of the first month of the Hebrew calendar. In 2 weeks, it will be Passover. On the 14th night day of the first month. But on the first day of the first month is the beginning of the year. So what's being proclaimed to you is a prophetic message in the spirit for the new year that God wants you to have. Do you understand that? And we watch those new moons because following the lunar calendar in ancient Israel, you could tell where in the months you were, because you could tell when a month had transpired because of the phases of the moon. And when the new moon came, there was prophetic declarations. There were shofars blown to make a declaration that we are in a new month. And the moon renews itself, we renew ourselves. And I believe that there is something really prophetic. I share, you know, Paul writes, I spoke because I believe that I received this from the Lord. So I'm giving you tonight what I believe that I've received for you as a fellowship that creates an environment of people helping each other learn and change and grow that welcomes the Holy Spirit. And if we will grab this, and you've got to grab this stuff, and say to the Lord in your prayers, yes, that's who I want to be. As for me and my house, we're going to follow the Lord. If you grab some of this, all of this, even if you just are like remembering a part of it and we recorded it and we'll get the DVD to you, that there are significant parts as we pray, there are significant parts that the Holy Spirit wants you to grab. Watch out for the word thief. You leave, the phone rings, something happens, you got to laugh at it and say, devil, you're trying to rob this word by the distraction of this happening or the distraction of that happening or this breaking or this thing. No. I'll deal with what I got to deal with, but I'm not letting you steal this word. That's why taking notes is so important. And thank God for the opportunities we have with the technology to record things. We can go back over it and you can listen again. Or you can get in the prayer closet and go back to that scripture and, yes, Lord, teach me. Because the Holy Spirit's our teacher. If you're getting anything from me, it's because of him. Do you understand that? I understand that. He is our teacher. It's part of his plan as human beings together to use the gifts that he gives us to help one another learn, change, grow. And I pray that we would be good disciples, because that's what this is all about. Gathering and welcoming, creating that sacred space, that environment for the Holy Spirit, and protecting it by looking into over each other's lives. Not in some kind of prurient way, you know, gossip and slander, God forbid, but really caring after each other's souls. And you can't care after someone's soul who doesn't want you, who doesn't welcome you. But if we're welcoming one another as disciples, then it's like, yeah, speak to me, pray for me, encourage me, rebuke me, whatever, you know, because I don't want to waste my time stuck. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be stuck. And I know how easy it is for my flesh to get stuck. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Because if you're not smiling or saying amen, you're a liar dog. Because your flesh and my flesh is all the same flesh. Black flesh, white flesh, whatever color it is, it's flesh. It's at enmity with God. It wants to be kissed and told you're okay. And don't listen to those crazy Jewish preachers like Jesus and Paul, let alone Howie, man. Forget him. Like, we just want to take it easy. We want a nice church. Can't we go back and have a nice church? Like we used to have a nice church? One of them normal churches? No! We want the kingdom of God. This is not about having a good church or bad church or a nice church. It's about having the kingdom coming and the king of the kingdom. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, help us to get these things. Help us to seal these things. Lord, at this New Year's night, may this truly be the beginning of a new year for all of us.
as disciples of the kingdom, freed from the constraints of self, freed from the constraints of other people's stuff, freed from the constraints of our own stuff, that we would create new relationships with one another, with you, with the Holy Spirit, that we can be people who are learning and changing and growing. God, give us a revelation of these things so that we can apprehend it. Because it is only by the Spirit. Thank you, great King. Thank you, great King. In the name of Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, who fulfilled and will fulfill all of those feasts. For they all ultimately and eventually proclaim who you are, the King of the kingdom that you've called us into. Lord, deliver us from any spirit of religion that acts as a counterfeit to the authentic truths of your kingdom. Free us that this congregation can truly fulfill the prophetic destiny written in the name that they believe, they, and I believe as well, that they have received from you, his place. Not our place, but his place. Make it so, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just continue to wait for a few moments. Let us continue to wait. Thank you, Lord. Oh, great King, give us a revelation of these things. Deepen our knowledge of God. Deepen our knowledge of God. Lord, I pray that we would begin to see one another as gifts from you. Each one is a gift, a precious gift. Help us to see the gift that each one is. It's so easy to see one another's failings and faults and weaknesses. It's just so easy. Help us to be treasure hunters and see the treasure that's in the earthen vessel.
Give us eyes to see what only your Spirit can show us, the treasure that's the gift that's we are to one another. And I pray for Paul and Marion and the leaders here and those you've joined, that they would be good stewards of the anointing you've given to them, and that you would continually teach them how to steward the anointing and create that space, because there will be many who will want to come, some to just look, some to taste, some to say, yes, I want to grow here. This is a place where I can grow. This is a place where I can be discipled. This is a place where I can be trained to fulfill my destiny. Lord, I know that there are tactics of the enemy, strategies of the enemy right now being conceived to try and destroy this work. So we pray a hedge of thorns and fire around this work, around the people and their families and their possessions, Lord, around their bodies and their health and their finances, God. Make us wise as serpents and gentle as doves. Show us the path forward step by step for the building, Lord, of a holy ark in this place, a sanctuary for your precious Holy Spirit. And forgive us for all the ways that we've grieved you, Lord. We thank you for the gift of repentance that you have given each one of us. We use that gift right now. And we thank you that each one of us can repent. Hallelujah. And when we awake tomorrow morning, we will find fresh mercies for tomorrow. Fresh mercies for the rest of our life. Wow. Lord, we do repent because the kingdom is at hand and we want the kingdom. Lord, I want to see the kingdom come here. I want this to be a place of wow. 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 In Jesus' name, amen. Janet and I would like to thank you for those of you that know our ministry and pray for us. Pray for the work that we're doing in this country and overseas. If you're not on our email list and you'd like to be, we have a sign-up sheet in the back. We will have a sign-up sheet in the name of Jesus. Somebody will provide a blank piece of paper. La, 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 la. To sign up, please, if you will, give us your, if you want to be on our contact list. Ah, see, the Lord doth provide. Hallelujah. Thank you, Mike. Please print your information because we do not have the gift of interpreting handwriting. And we have some CDs, and my book is on the back table, and some DVDs. Thank you. Thank you for remembering my family in prayer and our finances, the battles that we go through. We just thank you for your financial support of our work. Bless you guys. And we'll be with you tomorrow morning at 10:30 here. Amen, amen, amen. See what the Lord will give us. Hallelujah. Amen.
They also have tapes, CDs, tape, CDs, and they have a, you want to talk about your duplication?
Yeah, we have a free duplication policy. It's written on all of our material. If you purchase anything from us, you can make as many copies as you like and give them away.
The only thing we ask is that you put our contact information on it, even just our name and website, so that whoever you give it to, they know how to contact us. So if they want to purchase some more material themselves, they know how to get in touch with us. Because the sale of the material is one of the ways that we fund the work that we do here and in nations overseas. Because we're blessed in the United States. I don't know if you get to go overseas. If you haven't, you should do some short-term mission work, you know. And you come back and you thank God for the United States and pray for our country. Our country needs prayer. There, you know, when we travel around the world, wherever the Lord enables us to go, we meet people who say to us, you know, we're praying for America. You know, God is putting our country into the hearts of people. And some are even being sent here as missionaries. I met just a few weeks ago in Spartanburg a couple from South Africa. He was a judge, a magistrate in South Africa. And the Lord told him, sent him to America to call the American church to repentance. And through many spiritual battles, this is a couple probably in their late 60s or early 70s who just packed everything up, you know, and left their life to come to America, to pray for the church in America, to pray for this country. And there are lots of people like that who are being sent from the nations. So thank you. We do pray for our country. Hallelujah. And since we are called to pray for our president, we do so. Amen. Yes, Lord. It's hard. But we pray. Because Jesus rules over all. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Yes.